Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/cala. That's C-A-L-L-A.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, I remember the first time back at my hometown, which was Dallas, Texas, my home congregation, where I was baptized and confirmed, where I went to school at parochial school, where I was eventually also ordained as a pastor. I remember it. I remember going back to that congregation to preach my first sermon as a pastor there, and they love me. They still do. We drank coffee afterwards, and everyone had great things to say about me. It was fantastic. That's just the way it was. And that's the way it begins for Jesus when he goes back to Nazareth, to the synagogue where he was well known, his hometown, where he had been raised and taught and all of those things. He preaches a sermon there, and they love him. They say great things about him. But a few minutes later, they are dragging him out of town, ready to kill him. Why is that? We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson for the remainder of this hour. On this Tuesday afternoon, Pastor Tom Baker joins us, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why is it that the people of Nazareth turn on Jesus so fast?
It is very similar to what I have been saying on my own program, why nuns are turning away from Jesus. And when I say nuns, I mean those who have no denomination anymore. They may have been in a denomination, they have now left the denomination. And that's because they no longer recognize Jesus with a smile on his face, but a frown. So every time somebody is denying Jesus, the task we have is, why do they think Jesus has a frown on his face? And this is particularly interesting in light of this particular passage where Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament. And when he's done, everybody is speaking well of him. They were marveling at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And what were those gracious words? To proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. But as we have seen in other situations, many of the people at that time misread the scripture, thinking that Jesus was talking about freedom from the Romans and so forth. And that's why they were really happy to hear this. But then they wanted him to do some healing. In fact, what we have heard you do at Capernaum, do here in your own hometown as well. And then Jesus reminds them of two incidents. The one was in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months without any rain, and Elijah was sent to nobody but to this widow in Zarephath. Now, that is a Gentile town in the land of Sidon. And what did he do there? Well, remember, that was the place where the flour in her container and the oil never ran out. And that's the place where he rose her child who had died. He rose him from the dead. And then also, in Elisha's day, he says, now that's the prophet after Elijah, there were many lepers, but the only one Elisha cleansed was Naaman the Syrian. Now, Naaman, being in Syria, was an enemy. In fact, he had in his household a young Jewish girl that he was using to serve his wife, and she had been captured. She told Naaman, well, if you go to the prophet Elisha, then you'll be healed. And I think we all know that story where he went, he dipped in the river, and he was healed. And he was amazed at this. But he also was a Gentile. So here are the people. They began by thinking Jesus was talking about that he had come to set them free. And they were thinking in civil, natural, political terms. And then he refused to heal and even told them about two Gentiles that had been healed. No wonder they were angry with them. And it says in verse 28, when they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of town, brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. So that's the story we're taking a look at, the true events of Jesus' return to his own hometown, doing his first preaching. I had a similar situation that you had, Todd, when I went home to my own hometown as a pastor and did the first sermon there. Had a little different reaction because when I was in Sunday school as a kid, I was always fooling around and I wasn't listening to the teacher very much. And so they were really amazed I became a pastor. And it was kind of interesting. I remember when the service was over, I was standing at the back and people were coming, shaking my hand and just really thanking God that we had another pastor. My dad was standing back there watching everybody come with a big smile on his face. But though I wasn't thrown off a hill for sure or attempted to, Jesus was. And it says he just walked between them, but this has a lot to say as to how we deliver a message to those who really don't think very much of Jesus.
So how does he apply those Old Testament accounts of going only to these Gentiles whom they would have considered to be unworthy of these things? How do the people there in Nazareth hear Jesus applying that to them?
Yes, they did not like to deal with Gentiles. And twice Jesus speaks about Samaritans. He probably does more than that, but the two I'm thinking of is what is often referred to as the Good Samaritan, where a Samaritan hated by the Jews because they had intermarried with pagans, that this Samaritan went and helped a Jewish individual who had been accosted on the road, probably by other Samaritan robbers. And then, of course, we remember Jesus himself healing 10 lepers, and the only one that came back to thank him was a Samaritan. Now, what Jesus was doing, where he talks about proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord, this is called the year of Jubilee. In the Old Testament books, once every 50 years, the Jewish people would celebrate the year of Jubilee. It's found in Leviticus chapter 25 and lays it out in detail. During this year, debt was forgiven, prisoners were set free, and land that had been repossessed was returned to its original owner. In fact, some scholars have said that our modern-day laws providing for bankruptcy were first formed in the book of Leviticus. And that's Leviticus 25, verse 10. It says, "You shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. This is also what we're reading now in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus says in verse 19, that's the passage we're looking at, where he says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's the message they were hearing. But under Judaism, this meant, well, it couldn't be that we would be free from our sins, the Pharisees thought, because they weren't that big a sinner. In fact, they kept thanking God they weren't like tax collectors and prostitutes who were the real sinners in their day. And therefore, when Jesus points out that he's not doing miracles in his own hometown and gave the example of both Elijah and Elisha, well, you can understand why they were angry with Jesus. So what started off was a good reception by Jesus because of a misunderstanding of what he was saying. He's talking about the spiritual freedom that we're going to receive, and how? By his death and resurrection. That promise, in the day that sin occurs, death is the result. And what Almighty God has done, the Father sent his only begotten Son to take care by dying. Therefore, the word is fulfilled so that we will not have to die eternally for our sins.
When we come back, we're going to talk about how this near-death experience, this close call for Jesus, maybe it wasn't such a close call. Maybe he controls whether or not he lives or dies. In fact, later in John's gospel, he'll say something to that effect. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're talking about Jesus' rejection at his hometown of Nazareth, teaching a Sunday school lesson. Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
Be Strong and Courageous from Joshua 1:9 is the theme for the 41st academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Sanctifying your commute with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. St. Paul Lutheran, Coleman, Alabama. Christ the King Lutheran, Redlands, California, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois, Redeemer Lutheran, Marshalltown, Iowa, Trinity Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas, Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri, Faith Lutheran, Rogue River, Oregon, Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas, Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky, Trinity Lutheran, Springfield, Illinois, Redford Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan, and Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel about Jesus' rejection in Nazareth in John chapter 4. Tom, if you would talk a little bit about Jesus' escape. It simply matter-of-factly tells us that he passed through their midst and went away. Is this a miracle?
That's a good question. Somehow, it may have occurred the way it happened on the road to Emmaus. You'll recall that the disciples didn't recognize Jesus at first after his resurrection. And another passage even says that his form had changed somewhat, so he was hidden from them. That could be the reason. Or else Jesus makes a point again and again. He even does that with his own mother. At the very first miracle in Cana, he says, the hour has not yet come. My time has not yet come. Because Jesus was fully aware from reading the Old Testament that his own people would be coming up against him as the Messiah. And therefore, he would tell people occasionally after he healed them, don't go and tell anybody what I did for you. And he would even say, you know, don't tell him that I am the Messiah, because he had a number of years to spend on earth sharing the message, and he did not want his death to be expedited by the evil various individuals like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, etc., to hurry up their process of putting him to death. So this is not at all unusual that Jesus does escape. He could have done that in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he could have done it with force. Peter cut off the right ear of the servant of Malchus, and yet he did not, because his hour had come. And so this is really important to get across to people who no longer love Jesus or believe in him. Look at how far he goes in order to make sure that he will die in Jerusalem. He even says later on that when he's talking with about Jeremiah, that the prophet must die in Jerusalem, and that's where he sets his steps to go, where he dies at Jerusalem on Mount Calvary, or Golgotha, which means the skull, because he's doing that in order to have good news be given. Proclaim victory, recovering of sight to the blind, and setting at liberty those who are oppressed.
So if you would talk about the fact that while he passes through their midst and leaves, in many ways, and maybe in this case, literally disappears from their sight, he does this in response to their rejection of him. This is really actually the worst judgment that Jesus could pronounce on this people, is to actually leave them and no longer preach to them since they wouldn't hear what he had to say.
Yes. I think it's an important thing to note that, remember, at the beginning, they really like what he's saying. And then when he brings in the Gentiles, that, look at, even God considers them savable, they really reject him. So I would like to make a little distinction here. It's not that they're rejecting Jesus, but they're rejecting his message as he explains it. For example, if you take a look at what some of the nuns are saying who are rejecting the Christian faith, they say things they're getting from the secular world, saying, how could Paul have such a terrible view of morality against homosexuality and things like that? He was just a man of his time. And I've discovered that trying to argue people into the right understanding often doesn't work. Reason simply doesn't work. But what does work is painting a picture of Jesus so that the frowning face they now think he has towards them is changed to a smiling face. It's exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul. He definitely thought that the words of Jesus were frowning because he was a top Pharisee. He looked really good to himself, Pharisee of the Pharisees. He followed all the rules. And then to hear about this carpenter from Nazareth saying that he was the Messiah who had come to take away the sins of the world and that he really was God as people were worshiping him. Boy, he didn't think that Jesus had a smiling face towards him at all. And then when he was converted, and that's really important, the Holy Spirit changed his heart. Our task as pastors and as parents is not to have our kids have a new brain, but have a new heart. And that has to be created by the Holy Spirit. And the way it's done is by using the Word of God. We call it the kerygma. That is the foundation of our faith, the Holy Gospel. And that's what Jesus was preaching when he talked about, therefore, that, boy, that the Spirit of the Lord is here to anoint me. Now, where's he talking from? It's Isaiah chapter 61. This is what Jesus is quoting. And therefore, when he says, today this is fulfilled in your ears, and many of them had heard about Isaiah, but as I read Isaiah 61, put yourself in the place of someone who thinks that this is talking about political freedom, so they're no longer under the Romans, and restoring Israel to its former grandeur. Here he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And boy, people were brokenhearted with the Romans there. To proclaim liberty to the captives. They had all kinds of laws that they had to follow from Rome. The opening of the prison to those who were bound. And they had put definitely Jews in prison. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Nobody was thinking that God's vengeance would be coming against his own son. It would be coming against the Romans, etc., to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. So when Jesus talked like this, I truly believe they were totally misunderstanding his message. But then when he began to explain how this occurred even to Gentiles, boy, did that ever make them angry and wrath. And that was where they intended to put him to death, because they were so angry that he was going against the teaching of Judaism in that day.
We're talking with Pastor Tom Baker, teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus' rejection at Nazareth. Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. If you appreciate Issues Etc., Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us.
The living God is now defined by the living and risen Christ.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Do not fall away from the true God who died and rose again and lives for you.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. We're talking about Jesus' rejection at Nazareth in Luke chapter 4. Tom, can you explain, first of all, the quote that he has, "Physician, heal yourself," what he is saying they are thinking. Also, their question that comes right before it, is this not Joseph's son?
Yes, it is clear when he says, Jesus says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." They understood that passage from Isaiah to be talking about an individual who would be coming with good news, proclaiming liberty to the captives, etc., setting those who were oppressed. And so some are asking, well, wait a minute, isn't this the son of Joseph? Which, by the way, means early in his ministry, Joseph was still alive. And then he says, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb." And it was a common proverb in those days that, "Physician, heal yourself." And what they meant by that was what he says next: "What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your own hometown as well." And then he says, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown." And he's looking back at the Old Testament books where the prophets were not acceptable. Look, they were ready to kill Jeremiah simply because he prophesied truly that God was going to permit the Babylonians to come in and destroy the temple. And that was a holy place, and it was just not able to be received. The people could not wrap their heads around what he was saying. And so they went to the officials, said he must be put to death. But then they gave examples of others who had spoken this way and had not been put to death. So Jeremiah, in that case, was not put to death at that time. But what we have here is something that even was said by Simeon. Simeon in the temple, remember when Jesus was taken there by Mary and Joseph, he says, "Lord," this is Simeon talking, "now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, "For my eyes have seen your salvation," and he's holding the baby Jesus, "that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." Now listen to the next line. "A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." So in no way was Jesus saying that the Jews were outside of God's family. No, but the Gentiles also were being included. And that's why he mentions what Elijah did with a Gentile and Elisha did with a Gentile in healing them. And this is what made them really angry. But Jesus still spoke the word from God. And just as the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus, then we believe that the Spirit of the Lord may have come to some of these people. Remember, even the family of Jesus was against him at this time. When he was doing some preaching in a room, they told him, "Come on out and stop saying what you're saying." And he said, "Who are my mothers and brothers and sisters? They are those who hear my word and receive it, believe it, understand it." So there was a lot of understanding that had to be taken place. The disciples, all the way up to the crucifixion, you would think after 3 years, hearing what Jesus had to say, that they would have been clapping their hands in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was led away, instead of drawing out a sword and cutting off the ear of a high priest's servant. They still did not understand. And it wasn't until Pentecost and the Holy Spirit came and Jesus' resurrection, where he spoke to them like on that road to Emmaus, explaining the reason and necessity for his message of crucifixion and resurrection. So what this says, and this needs to be gotten across by the Sunday school teachers, Jesus is not rejected, his message is, and so will ours. How many of us, in talking to people who are not believers and speaking about the Christian faith, they say, "Well, that is ridiculous. How can you believe 6-day, 24-hour creation, or crossing the Red Sea, or the miracles of Jesus, or that he rose people from the dead?" They will not believe those things. And so when they read a passage like Isaiah 61, the most they can get out of it is, this is about political freedom. And you'll even hear people protesting today in various ways, using the Bible totally out of context. Because what does Jesus say? "My kingdom is not of this world." But they thought it was. So therefore, boy. So the point I want to make here, Jesus can transform anyone's sorrow because he transforms mourners. Whatever you feel bad about, there is a promise in the Bible that God will use to comfort you in whatever pain you're going through. And the best way to do that is to keep talking about how gracious, merciful, and loving Jesus was. You know, notice when they came to throw him off the brow of the hill, in other religions, the God of those religions would have put them all to death, but not Jesus. He just traveled through their midst and left them time to think about what he had said, and even his own family came to faith in him with, remember, his brother James becoming a pastor of the Jerusalem church. That's how we reach out to nuns and those who are rejecting Jesus, by showing his smiling face rather than the face that they're imagining.
Finally, with about a minute here, Tom, what's the law and gospel application for the Sunday school children?
The law is, we often think that by the way we speak the Bible, we can influence people, and therefore we take credit for somebody coming to faith, when we need to realize the gospel is what brings them to faith. And as our third article says in the Catechism, I cannot, by my own reason or strength, come to the Lord Jesus or believe in him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by what? By the gospel. So it may sound ridiculous to say the gospel promises of that smiling face of Jesus towards you, but that's how the Holy Spirit works with that and creates a new heart and a right spirit, even within unbelievers.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Here's a little bit from this Sunday school curriculum that guides our conversations with Pastor Baker every week. Those who follow Jesus now throw him out of the city and take him to a cliff to throw him down. But the Messiah is in control. He lays down his life. No one takes it from him until the appointed hour. You could see here how growing in Christ as a Sunday school curriculum is both Christ-centered, talking about Jesus as our Savior, and cross-focused, pointing forward from this lesson to its ultimate fulfillment in the cross. You can find out more about growing in Christ. Concordia Publishing House will send you a free sample. Just give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the Mueller Report with Washington, D.C. journalist Mark Hemingway. Jesus suffers all kinds of rejection from his own people, from all of Israel. Ultimately, he will suffer the rejection that we deserved from his Father on account of our sins to save us. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.